full there, having no burdens to bear over there, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? That's a beautiful song. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our dear God, we just thank you so much for your grace and your love and your provision. We're thankful for the beautiful sunshine we have this morning and the weather. And Father, that we have our health and that we're in our right minds this morning and we're able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and study another portion of your word, Father, to see how we can better serve you, Father, for the great salvation that you've provided to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, and we're forever indebted to serve you, Father, because we see and we're continually trying to understand how great a love it truly is that your Son would die for us on the cross. Father, we thank you so much for your written word. We are thankful that we have it in digital form, that we might be able to study your word and to learn more about you and to grow closer to you, Father, as we get closer to heaven. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are struggling with their health, Father. We pray that you might bring healing. Father, we're thankful for all of those that have gotten better, Father, those that have made it through surgery this last week. We're so thankful for all of the many people that we've prayed for, and you've said yes, and you've healed them, and they're in recovery, Father, and we ask that you be with them as they recover. Father, we're also mindful of those that we lost this last week, Father. We pray that you would be with the families that have lost loved ones, Father. Pray that you might minister to them and that you might utilize us, Father, to be those people standing by, those that are in need of support, Father, at the loss of a loved one. Father, we just thank you so much for this country we live in, that we're able to come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. We pray for those that are in arms, Father, all over the world, fighting in different places. Pray that you give them safety and that they might come back safely to their families. Father, we ask that you be with the leaders of countries, Father, that you give them the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to lead, Father, and to not get in the way of those that are seeking to spread your word all over the world, Father. We just thank you so much for all that you do. We know you know all things, Father. And we ask that you move in these many different ways that we asked of you today. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Okay. So this morning we want to start with how the Bible teaches. I'm going to talk about how the Bible teaches. Is there anyone in here that knows how the Bible teaches? How does the Bible teach? Yes? By example. Yeah, the Bible teaches by example. Anyone else? How does the Bible teach? What did you say? Parables, by parables. Yeah. So by examples, by parables. Anyone else? How does the Bible teach? Oh, what did you say? Yes, yeah. So the Bible teaches by us reading it. The writer of Romans, Paul says in Romans 10:17, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we learn God's word by reading it, by looking at the examples, by reading the parables, also by preaching. Those that are preachers, those that are teachers, those that are parents that teach their children. I think I shared the other day, my first memory verse, I believe, was Genesis 1:1. My dad taught me that one. But, I mean, I heard so much Bible around the house, and we would get into debates about Bible scriptures, so it was always a lively house. And then at church, it was the same way. We were challenged to memorize verses. You know, when the preacher has you up in front of the church before worship service with memory verses, you need to know your verses, because you don't want to be embarrassed. So you practice and you study and you learn. And you also, when you don't understand something, you question. You ask questions of other people. Sometimes I would ask the preacher, what does this mean, preacher? And the preacher would say, oh, okay, let me tell you. Or I'd ask my dad or somebody else about the scriptures. So how the Bible teaches is by us reading it, by looking at the examples and so many other things. And so we want to talk about how the Bible teaches. If you're going to understand how the Bible teaches, you will need to understand authority in religion. What it is, why it is needed, how it is expressed, and how it is established. You see, all authority in religion resides with God, and he has expressed it to us in his word, the Bible, telling us what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. When we think about the Bible, some people will say the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. You've heard that before. And it's good to have your Bible. One guy told me years ago, he said, Solomon, you got all these books in your library here, but this is the book you really need to study. And that's the Bible. Because the Bible is the directions from God, and we need to spend as much time as possible in the Bible, searching the scriptures to see how we can live better lives for God. So if you're going to live a life which will please God, you must consider what his will for you is. You must therefore understand how that will is expressed to us in the inspired scriptures, determining how those scriptures, the Bible, teach us. We know the Old Testament. The Old Testament is therefore examples. Somebody said examples. Examples are found in the Old Testament. We study people like who in the Old Testament? Who do we study about in the Old Testament? Moses. Who's your favorite character in the Old Testament? David? Who else? Ruth? Noah? Joseph? Job? Solomon? Joshua? Anyone else? Don't be scared to sound off. All of them, okay. What'd you say? Daniel. Naomi. Anyone else? Who is it? Deborah. Anyone else? Samson. Wow. A lot of different people in the Old Testament. What about in the New Testament? Who are the characters in the New Testament? Jesus, Paul, John the Baptist, Peter. Yes? John. Luke. Thomas. Barnabas. Mary, Lazarus. Oh, this is fun for me. Wow. But you have all of these different people in the Bible, and they're examples, aren't they? We all know their stories. What about Thomas? What name is ascribed to Thomas by some people ascribe him as what? Doubting Thomas. All because of one incident. That's something. He was skeptical, but weren't all the apostles skeptical? Had they ever known anybody to actually come back from the dead like he promised he would? But yeah, he was skeptical. He was doubting Thomas. That's what we learned about in Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, about doubting Thomas. It was fun, wasn't it? You guys know I like to have fun in Bible class. I like it to be exciting, and it's fun when you guys are responding back and forth. But the Bible teaches us by examples. We get a hold of these characters, and we examine them, and we look at their lives. And the reason why we look at those examples, like David was an example in so many ways. David was an example of what to do, and also what not to do. He was an amazing guy. And the beautiful thing about it, about the Old Testament, is it's people who are living for God, but they fall short, just like us. Amen? They fall short. So they show us that even though they fall short or they sin, you can still have a relationship with God. If David was in the wrong place, because it says over there in the Bible that it says, when the kings go to battle, David stayed home, didn't he? He was not where he was supposed to be. And we can do a whole lesson about not being in the right place. He should have been out there fighting the battle. He probably would have never saw Bathsheba, at least not on that occasion. He may have seen her at other times. But if he was out there fighting with the men like he should have been, then that may never have happened. That may have never happened. Isn't there sometimes in our lives when we've been in the wrong place? When we're supposed to be somewhere else. We should have been in school. We were cutting class. We were supposed to be home, but we were out and about. We were supposed to be driving down one highway, and we were driving down another. We weren't where we were supposed to be, and we got into trouble. We made decisions that we should not have been making. But see, we have people like David to let us know that we can get up and get back in a right relationship with God. This is the beauty of the examples in the Bible. By looking at a man like David. The Bible says that David was a man after what? David was a man after God's own heart. But he killed a man. He slept with another man's wife. He wrote a note and gave it to the man and sent him out to battle and had him killed. But yet, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David repented. When we look at the story when Nathan came to David, and he was telling him that little parable, if you will, David was upset. He said, that man needs to pay back sevenfold. And Nathan said, thou art the man. David's tune changed. He changed speeds. Does that sound like some of us? We want to throw the stone at other people, but when it's us, we want all the grace and mercy that's possible. This is what the Bible offers, is real examples of real people striving to live for God. They make mistakes, but they choose to get up from their mistakes and follow after God. Isn't that awesome that we have these examples in the scriptures? This is how the Bible teaches us. That's why I keep reading it over and over again. I keep picking the Bible up over and over again, reading it, because every time I pick up the Bible, there's something for me to learn. There's always something for me to learn. There's always direction. People say, I read this book, this novel, 955 pages in 3 days. I don't hear people saying they read the Bible in 3 days. If you did, you must have stayed up the whole time and had that one guy reading to you. Because the Bible, unlike any other book, is talking to you and asking you to make changes in your life, to be more and more like the God that created you. Because that's what the Bible is doing for us. It's teaching us how to be more and more like our Creator. That's what it's all about. So that when we get to heaven, we just blend right in. We just blend right in. You notice that when you become a Christian, God just doesn't say, okay, it's time to come on. It's time to come on. No, we've got to go through changes and struggles in this life so that when we do get to heaven, we will appreciate heaven. Amen? I'm going to appreciate heaven. Amen? But the Bible is here to teach us, to help us, to show us that we can be steadfast. We can be immovable in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of the struggles that we go through in this life. We can make it through this life. If a man like Noah was told, Noah, you need to build an ark. He preached for 120 years. And the only people that were saved were seven other people, the people in his household. That's a lesson for us, isn't it? It's a lesson for us. Get your family in the church. That's the ark of the day. Work on yourself, work on your family. Amen? And if you have extra time, help others out. Because that's what Noah did. Noah preached for 120 years. But only seven other people got into that ark. I don't know how many animals went in there. They said they went in two by two, and the special animals, seven of them. So there were more animals on the ark than there were people. Isn't that something? But we have all of these examples found in the scriptures, talking about Noah, talking about Moses, Barak, Deborah, all of these different people, men, women. He will say, oh, I'm left out. No, there's everybody in there. Almost everybody is similar to us in some way, fashion, or form. They're all in there, and they're examples. And all of the people that wanted to serve God, serve God. And so the Bible teaches us by those examples, all of those beautiful examples there that are found in Scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our what? For our learning. Why? That we, through what? It says through patience. It's patience that it takes to live the Christian life. It takes patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Do the Scriptures comfort you? The Scriptures comfort me. When I look at David, when I look at Moses, when I look at all the different characters, the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. What is the hope that is developing in us? What are we hoping for? We're hoping for eternal life. We're hoping for heaven. We can make it. We can make it. That's the hope that we have. We know that God can make it happen for us. We've got that hope. So according to this text, the Old Testament scriptures were written for our learning, and we can learn many valuable lessons and gain much valuable information by reading the Old Testament. It's so powerful. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39? Who knows them all? Say them backwards. Just messing with y'all. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 says, now all these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. The Old Testament examples of the sins of the children of Israel are given to warn us from falling prey to the same iniquity that caused them to displease God. All of that is there for us. Those are examples of people. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to read about Adam and Eve. I was so angry with them. I really was. Why couldn't you guys just listen to God? Then I got older. And I realized I was just like Adam and Eve. Wow. The Bible helps you realize that we need a Savior. It's talking about Jesus all the way through. that Old Testament. A Savior is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. It talks about the Savior. He's coming. God is preparing the Savior. The New Testament is our authority today. The New Testament is our authority today because it contains the words of Christ. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 48, if you will. John 12, 48. Listen to what Jesus says here. In John 12, 48, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last days." So God's word is really important for us to not only study it, but apply it to our lives. Make the necessary changes when you have that time to study God's word. Because as I said, unlike any other book, it's not like a novel. It's not even like a troubleshooting book or a how-to book on how to have a different type of life. This is specifically a manual made for human beings so that you'll know how to live the best life. Jesus told the people of his day, he says, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have life how? More abundantly." It's in the scriptures. It's right here. We don't need to read all those other books. A book has already been written for us. It's found here in the scriptures, how to live the abundant life that Jesus says. He told the people once, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon yourself and do what? Learn of me." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the words that Jesus was speaking. Why was he saying, my yoke is easy? Why was he comparing it to how oxen are joined together with the yoke? Jesus was saying that because the burdens of the religious teachers of that day, they were putting burdens on the people that God hadn't put on them. They are requiring people to do things that were unnecessary because it wasn't pleasing to God. It was not pleasing to God. And so we need to read the scriptures for ourselves. We need to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures ourselves and make sure that what we are being taught is in accordance to God's word. Amen? We need to search the scriptures. Because human beings make mistakes. Have you ever been up in front of an audience and got nervous? You had everything memorized, and you even have your notes in front of you, and you forget how to say what you meant to say? Have you ever been there before? Wow! It happens. It happens. Oh, wow. We got a lot of people confessing that today. But it happens. And so we need to, as brothers and sisters, keep each other accountable, remind each other of the words that are written in the scriptures. Because as my one friend said to me, he says, "Salma, you're preaching the same thing you were preaching in high school." And I was like, right on, right on. That's exactly the way it should be. The scriptures don't change because of culture. It doesn't change because of culture. Sin is sin. The Bible tells us that there is nothing what? New under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. So the Bible teaches by example. There are principles that the Bible utilizes that we can follow and can be passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. It just keeps on teaching. It doesn't change. Genesis 1:1 still means the same thing that it meant back in 1974 when I first learned it. It's the same. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the same. It hasn't changed. Science has changed its view of things. Because now we can see further and further into deeper space now. We can see further into space, but Genesis 1:1 is still Genesis 1:1. It hasn't adapted or changed. It's consistently the same. And that's the beautiful thing about God, is we can always depend on God to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible does for us. It teaches us by example. It teaches by being consistently the same all the time. So the New Testament is our authority today because it contains the words of Christ. We look over at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. See what the Hebrew writer says there. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. He says here in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, he says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God is speaking to us through his Son, and his Son had apostles, and they wrote by means of the Holy Spirit inspiring them. They were writing the word of God. The one who has all authority is Jesus, according to Matthew 28, 18, where Jesus told his disciples, he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, because he had risen from the dead. He had done all the things that were necessary to make him Lord and Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, we can turn there if you will. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. The he there is God. You can say, and God put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus has authority. He is the head of the church. Over in Ephesians 5:23, Paul is writing there. Ephesians 5:23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. The church is the body. The body is the church. So those are together. Those are the same. He's talking about the church and the body. So Jesus is God's exclusive spokesman today, as we've looked at it, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Jesus' words are to endure as long as this earth endures. Whatever we do spiritually, therefore, must be done in Jesus' name, by his authority. All must be done according to his will, which is in the New Testament there. Since the New Testament scriptures contain all things that pertain to life and godliness, we need nothing more than the body of teaching they contain. We can look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's the reference that I just mentioned. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We can start at verse 1, if you will, of 2 Peter chapter 1. Where he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Godliness is a good study to take upon yourself, to learn about what godliness really is all about. It's a good study. You should try studying that, looking up what godliness means and how that applies to the Christian. But godliness is very important, because we're being more like God. Any comments or questions at this point? Go ahead. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yeah. It's just like when I go to, say, for it, like when I lived in Benicia, I would go to the pastoral meetings because I wanted an opportunity to talk to these people about the gospel. And I spoke to many of them, and they know what the scriptures teach. In fact, most of them are doctors in theology, but they choose to follow their teaching. Somebody told me, they said, well, I only teach what I get paid to teach. So some people know that they're teaching the wrong thing. But there are some people that have been led astray. And for those people, we need to have patience for. But the thing is when we have those opportunities to speak, we should speak. Because we may not have that opportunity again. And so we need to just speak up. When people are teaching the wrong thing, say something. It's okay to say something. Don't be afraid. Speak up. Yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yeah. Sometimes that's when, you know, because I run into that too. Somebody will come in. It's just like, you're like, did the devil stop me from doing that or what happened? But really, it actually is almost better. Because then you could say, well, I want to talk to you at another time and try to set an appointment. If you can do that, because sometimes in a business situation, you might not be able to do that. But, you know, strive to do your best. I mean, that's all we can ask of each other and encourage one another to do is do your best. Because sometimes the opportunity may never come again. And you did your best in that particular situation. Because you were just cut off. I mean, you were cut off. So you were striving to do the right thing, but it just wasn't the opportune time. Yes? And then I'll get to you, Wendy. Yes, yes. Wendy? Yes, yeah. Yeah. The thing about all of these different instances is that we have to think about ourselves. If I was to come to you guys and say, okay, we're all going to do push-ups, you guys are all going to have something to say to me. You see what I mean? And if I say, we're going to race to 50 push-ups, some people will think and doubt and say, I don't think he can do 50 push-ups. But then you'll be like the student that I raced to 50 push-ups, and he was surprised, and he told all his friends. But what I'm saying is, when people are trying to teach you new information, you have different responses. Sometimes you might respond with, yes, I'm interested. Or you might say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not a theologian. You're not qualified for that. So who are you? You're just whoever they might think of you or look at you. So sometimes it's how people are perceiving you or looking at you when you're telling them about the Bible. That's how it is. Like talking to the people that I was dealing with at these pastoral meetings, I was the kid. They were like, oh, Solomon, you need to go back to theologian school. You're just a kid, because I was only like 30, and everybody over there were 50 and older. So they were more mature. They had been speaking longer than I had. They already had their doctorate degrees in theology, and they knew what the scriptures taught. They knew the Hebrew. They know the Greek. They know the Aramaic. I can ask them any questions, and they can answer them for me. So it was like I was in school and I was just sitting down asking all the questions that I had. Any theological question I had, these people could answer them. But they were choosing to teach what they were teaching. It wasn't that they were ignorant. And so their perception of me was, oh, you're a young kid and you need to go back to school. I even was picking at the ladies and I was saying, because there were three ladies that were speakers, that were preachers, and or priests or whatever they were called, and they were saying that I said, you think differently about what Paul says women are to keep silent in the church. And they just laughed at me. They said, yeah, you need to go back to school. Because they know what the scriptures teach. They know what the scriptures teach. But we're not always in a position to be able to teach people, because it's how people perceive us. Because they look at us a certain way. People look at preachers a certain way and say, oh, yeah, the preacher said whatever, okay, whatever, and they keep moving, you know. But then there are some people that listen when they're being taught. They're interested. They're caught. You may, like, sometimes I may have felt like I didn't preach a good sermon, and somebody comes forward and they say, I needed that today. I'm ready to be baptized. I'm changing my life. Because of what you said. And it's just, you just never know. The thing is always put forth the effort and see how God moves. Because God wants us to be his spokesman. But we can only be his spokesman when we know his word. And we're not going to know everything in the scriptures. But I tell you, the more you talk to people about the Bible, the more you're going to have to study the Bible, and the better you're going to be at talking about the Bible. So look for people that are wanting to study the Bible, that have questions about the Bible, because they're going to have questions and ask of you that you don't always know the answer to. That's why I came up with the 6 weeks. I was like, it's going to take me 6 weeks. At least it gives me enough time to call a friend, call an elder, deacon, brother, sister, call my mom, sister, somebody that may already have the answer to that question. And I'll be looking and searching myself as well, because we want to make sure that we don't just make up an answer. We want to give them the correct answer because they're always going to remember the answer that you gave them because they ask you the question and they're depending on you. So they put you in a place of respect and honor. They want to hear from you. So when someone asks you a biblical question, don't shoot from the hip. Say, let's look at the Bible. If you got your Bible or you can turn to your Bible on your digital device, turn to those scriptures. But then say, hey, maybe we need to study this a little bit more because we're in a business situation or we've got other things to do because sometimes it's unplanned and it's a spur of the moment question. But they know that you're a Christian and they want to hear what you've got to say. Yes? Yes, exactly. Yes. 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 Yep. They say power is in the follow-up. Power is in the follow-up. Thank you this morning. Class is over. It was great.